This is Pastor Tom Martin of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, inviting you to worship God on this Lord's Day evening, December 6, 2020. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Our Heavenly Father is rich beyond calculation. He's the creator and owner of all things. He's also extremely generous, even to people who are unworthy of his kindness, but especially to his adopted sons and daughters whom he loves because of Jesus. So then, lift up your hearts as our God and Father calls you into his presence. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in abundance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you as the one who is the fount of every blessing, asking that you would tune our hearts to sing your grace. You're the creator of all things, and every creature looks to you to give them their food in due season. You give it to them. They gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. What do we have that we have not received from you? Especially, Father, we thank you that when we were spiritually destitute, you sent your Son, the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, and in whom the Holy Spirit dwells without measure. Of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. His love is boundless. His ways are past finding out. His grace is sufficient for us. His riches are inexhaustible. His peace surpasses understanding. His Spirit fills us and takes the things that belong to Jesus and declares them to us. Help us to understand the treasures of wisdom that are hidden in Christ. We ask that the Spirit might move among us this evening and accomplish his good purpose in the hearts of your people, enriching us with the good things that we have inherited in Jesus, the one in whose name we pray. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 3. Give to our God immortal praise, mercy and truth are all his ways. Words from the 136th Psalm, Trinity Hymnal number 3. And now we read from the New Testament, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. We read verses 21 through 28. You can't have that. Has Mommy ever said that to you? Maybe you're looking at the mouth-watering cupcake that's just come out of the oven. But of course, Mommy has a reason for saying that. And she goes on to explain that those cupcakes are actually being saved for the whole family to enjoy after dinner. But because Mommy loves you, she allows you to have one ahead of time. The special blessings enjoyed by the Jewish people aren't being given to the Gentiles, at least not yet, not until after Jesus' resurrection. But here's a Gentile woman who comes along before then to ask Jesus for his help. And because she asks in faith, and he loves that, he can't refuse her, and he gives her what she asks for. Listen as Matthew tells us about it. Here's God's word, Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the marvelous generosity that you've shown in sending us your own son. And we're confident that you who did not spare your own son, but gave him up for us all, that you will also with him graciously give us all things. And out of the security and confidence that comes with that, we pray that you'll teach us how to give. You're able to make all grace abound to us, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we may abound in every good work. Help us to recognize the gifts that you've given to us and to put them to work in all of those good works that you've prepared for us ahead of time. You love the cheerful giver. So help us to give cheerfully of our time, of our wisdom, of our expertise, of our encouragement, our instruction, our love, our abilities, our prayers, our possessions, our friendship. Help us to give cheerfully, sharing the comfort with which you have comforted us, the lessons that you've taught us, the insights that you've given to us, the knowledge that you've imparted to us, and the gifts that you've entrusted to us. And we pray that we'll not give reluctantly or under compulsion, but we'll give cheerfully as those who are constrained by your love. And we even pray that you'll multiply our seed for sowing and increase the harvest of our righteousness. Give us a sense of anticipation and excitement as we give. And we ask that the generosity of your people will result in the overflowing of many thanksgivings to you, our God. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, thankful that of the anguish of his soul, he sees and is satisfied because he has made many to be accounted righteous. And so we pray that as those who have been redeemed in Jesus, that we might then with joy and gratitude lay before you the things that you have so generously and graciously given to us, even ourselves as living sacrifices, because this is our reasonable service. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And now we read from the Old Testament, this evening reading from Leviticus chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Do you like to picnic? I hope you do. And if you're like me, you can probably think of some memorable places that you've picnicked. Moses tells us about a picnic spot like no other. Aaron and his sons picnicked on God's doorstep. Now you're wondering, how did such a thing as that come to happen? Listen as Moses describes it for us. Here's God's word. Leviticus chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die. For so I have been commanded." And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are a generous God who teaches us that to those who ask, it will be given. We come as your sons and daughters in Jesus, asking that you will allow us to feast on the abundance of your house. And because you are exceedingly generous, we ask that you might even use your word to give faith to those who are outside, that they may feast with us. Amen.
After all the instructions that we read, the process of ordination that was described to us in those previous verses, surely Aaron and his sons are ready to get to work as the first priests serving in the newly constructed and freshly furnished tabernacle. And we discover, not so fast, Aaron and his sons have 7 more days before they can take up the work to which they have been called by God. There are 7 days of preparation, 7 days to the ordination. We thought it was going to be done in a day, but we discover that it's going to take 7 days for those priests to be properly consecrated, properly ordained, properly set apart for the work to which God has called them, laboring in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting, in the presence of God. And as our hearts sink at the prospect of that extended period of preparation, the remarkable thing as Moses describes for us, just how that's to be carried out. Moses pictures for us those fledgling priests camped out on God's doorstep. Because this process of ordination, this 7-day process of preparation of these priests, it takes place at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If you can visualize the courtyard of the tabernacle, and the Aaron and his sons are there camped out in that courtyard, not yet ready to go into the tent, but rather on the very doorstep of it. If you can perhaps imagine, boys and girls, if you can imagine having a picnic on the front yard of your neighbor's house, if you can imagine camping there for 7 days, you get some sense of what's going on in these verses as Moses gives them to us. For 7 days, Aaron and his 4 sons are camped out on God's doorstep as they are prepared to take up their work as priests. And let me just think with you about the implications of those 7 days spent on God's property, on the threshold of God's tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Those were 7 days of preparation. We're surprised that they're not yet ready for the work that God has called them to. He's called them to be priests. We heard described for us the elaborate ritual that they'd gone through. We think surely that's the end of it. But no, verse 33, you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. God's process of ordination takes 7 days. We want to charge on ahead. We want to get cracking. We want to get down to work. But God teaches us that as He works in the lives of His people, God takes His time to prepare His people for the service to which He calls us. So we'd love to engage in all kinds of elaborate service and occupy important positions. But God calls His people to a process of preparation. Maybe sometimes as God's people, we need to be a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more reflective. We need to take time to think about, well, as Paul puts it, the high calling to which He has called us. And for 7 days, Aaron and his sons camped out in the courtyard of the tabernacle have time to think about the work that God is calling them to, the work that's required of them. And it's good for us to reflect on that fact. It takes 7 days, says God, to ordain these priests. It took God 7 days to create the world. It takes Him 7 days to see to it that these priests are properly paired. 7 days, of course, 7, a perfect number. It takes just the right amount of time for them to be prepared. Brothers and sisters, it takes God just the right amount of time to prepare us for service. God works in the lives of his people. We don't run before we can walk. God teaches us. God brings his people toward maturation. You might think of the process of sanctification. Our justification is an act. Immediately as we trust in the Lord Jesus, we are justified. We have new life. But then God works in us. And that sanctifying process, that process by which God prepares us for service and indeed for greater responsibilities in service, that's a process that takes time. Those who are faithful in the little learn and are prepared and become equipped and grow in maturity to the point where they're able to assume greater responsibilities. And we see that process taking place, pictured for us. These priests camped out as they undergo that process of preparation. And it takes place in the presence of God. It's taking place in the courtyard of the tabernacle. It's in the presence of God. As you grow in grace, God is present with you. God works in the lives of his people. And you'll remember how Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 describes the New Covenant ministry, how in the Old Testament there was, as it were, a veil that obscured the things of God from God's Old Testament people. Now that veil has been removed. Now we see clearly what was seen in the Old Testament as through a glass darkly. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we, with unveiled faces, beholding God, are being changed from one degree of glory into another. This is the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians as we fellowship with Jesus, as we live our lives in fellowship with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord Jesus. We are transformed, we are prepared, we are equipped, we grow in maturity, and we are equipped for the ways in which the Lord has ahead for us to be serving him. We saw last Lord's Day evening how the ordination offering was an offering that was offered by these fledgling priests, but we heard how Moses would take the material to be offered. He would put it in the hands of those priests, and we learned last Lord's Day that the idea of ordination in the Old Testament is the idea of having one's hands filled. Here these priests, and into their hands is placed the things that they are then to offer to God. And we saw how that's that idea of filling is an idea that comes over into the Greek New Testament, the idea of perfecting, being made perfect in the New Testament sense, as it's used often in the New Testament, the idea of being mature. We grow in maturity as we camp out, as it were, in the presence of God and serve him. We hear the instruction given to Aaron and his sons. If you leave the forecourt of the tabernacle during that 7-day period, you will die. They're not going to go anywhere. They are committed to the task, and they're committed to seeing through this 7-day process of preparation and consecration. Of course, that's God works in our lives over a period of time. That's why James says, count it joy when you experience trials, because those trials, God uses them to grow us in steadfastness. And then James goes on in James 1 verse 4, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Those trials that we go through, those testing experiences, they mature us, they equip us, they make us more like the Lord Jesus. And then during that time of preparation, during those 7 days, that process of reflection, maturation, time spent near the presence of God, those days were not just days of preparation, they were days of provision. Abundant provision. Aaron and his sons' time had not yet come. They had to wait outside the tabernacle. They're at the entrance to the tent of meeting, but they're going to be invited in as God's guests. They're going to be brought in at the end of that process in order to serve in the tabernacle. And while they're in God's courtyard, God sees to it that they are provided for. There's food provided for them. And day by day, they get to share in the offering, that ordination offering. It's repeated day after day, and they eat of it. They dwell you think of the psalmist, the 23rd Psalm, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here they are as these Levites who have been set aside for the priesthood, here they are in God's courtyard, and as it were, they're being fed from God's table. Moses, as God's representative, placed bread and meat in their hands, and they ate. And they ate well, because meat was a delicacy. You didn't tend to eat meat very often in those days, in that kind of situation. Day by day, they ate not just bread, they ate meat as well. They feasted in the presence of God. We feast and are called to worship. We were reminded of how we feast of the good things of the house of our God. And Leviticus 8, verse 28 talks about that. Day by day, the sacrifice was offered on the, day by day, they were burned on the altar. This was an ordination offering pleasing, with an aroma that was pleasing, a food offering to the Lord. They're eating from the Lord's table. The sacrifice that's offered on the altar is a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. These priests in training get a portion of that. In a sense, they're sharing a meal with God as their gracious host. God is the host who abundantly provides for his servants. A sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God, that nourishes his servants while they wait for their perfection, the perfection of their training, as it were. God feeds us. The sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God, it's not a sacrifice of bulls or goats or rams. The sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that's without blemish, the sacrifice that pleases God, of which God approves. And God gives us of that pleasing sacrifice. He gives us the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you remember in John chapter 6, Jesus says, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. As we live our lives in the presence of God, God feeds us richly of his grace. And remember, grace is not some magical substance. Grace is personified in the Lord Jesus. As we receive God's grace, we receive the Lord Jesus himself. We receive him by faith. He is the well-pleasing sacrifice offered to God, whom God then shares with us, so that we have life in him. We who are dead in trespasses and sins are raised to life in Jesus Christ, because God enables us by faith to participate in that well-pleasing sacrifice. So these servants of God, these priests, they're undergoing that extended period of preparation, of being matured for their calling. But during that time, they're being sustained, they're being well-fed, because God sees to it that they're nourished from his very own table. What a marvelous thing that is for us to reflect upon.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that having the eyes of our hearts enlightened through your word, that we may know what is the hope to which you have called us, and the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, and that our hearts will be filled with love and our mouths filled with praise. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 207, Good Christian Men Rejoice, Jesus Christ is Born Today. Trinity Hymnal number 207. And now, people of God, lift up your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and always. Amen.